Azerbaijan today called on the European Union to help find a solution to the Nagorno-Karabakh conflict. The predominantly ethnic Armenian territory was occupied by Armenia as the Soviet Union crumbled in the late 1980s and early 1990s. Less than a month ago, both Armenian and Azerbaijani presidents expressed their readiness to speed up the process of reaching agreement on the disputed territory during a meeting hosted by the Russian president. Lawrence Sheets, an analyst and expert on the Caucasus region for the International Crisis Group, spoke to Davide Maggiore about the conflict and other issues in the region.
Well, I think, you know, this has always been a region of geopolitical competition, a region which has been between empires for centuries and even millennia, one would argue. If you look at the history of Georgia or Azerbaijan or Armenia, all three of these entities, to the extent that they were states or communities, have always been between empires, be it Russian Empire, Ottoman Empire, Persian Empire, and those that preceded it. If you add to that the economic potential of the region, at current in the form of hydrocarbons and oil reserves and gas reserves, it becomes an intense area of speculation, political speculation, gamesmanship, geostrategic planning and rivalry. So that's why I think there's such interest in the region and such competition.
Which are the main players involved in this competition?
The main players are, of course, in terms of the South Caucasus, the three South Caucasus states, Armenia, Azerbaijan, and Georgia, would of course be the Russian Federation as the successor to the Soviet Union. But you also have a role being played by Western states in general. That would be the United States, the European Union, Turkey, of course, because it's very heavily involved with Azerbaijan, different interest groups in the United States, which support Armenia, largely because of the diaspora relationship. The United States, as I mentioned, in terms of Georgia, because Georgia is perceived as a more pro-American or American ally.
And more specifically on Azerbaijan, the issue of the conflict with Armenia for Nagorno-Karabakh is far from being solved.
Yes, unfortunately, the conflict is really at a standstill in terms of the negotiation process. There have been 18 years of negotiations, which have led, unfortunately, to no result so far. If anything, there's been a retrenchment from the situation we saw 2 or 3 years ago when there was a real hope that we might have at least a basic framework agreement. The two countries have basically agreed at various times what the basic outline of the resolution of the conflict would be. That would be that Armenia and Armenian forces have to relinquish their control over occupied territories around Nagorno-Karabakh, that the borders have to be open between the countries, diplomatic relations restored, an international peacekeeping contingent be introduced to the region, and the return of refugees and IDPs to their former homes, or at least the right of return. Also, a vote at a future date on the status, the eventual status of Nagorno-Karabakh itself. That is one of the biggest sticking points. The disagreement is where the referendum would be held. Would it be held in all of Azerbaijan, which is unacceptable to Armenia, or would it be held in Nagorno-Karabakh only? I think it's generally been accepted that it's not realistic to hold the vote in all of Azerbaijan. We know the result beforehand. And that it would be held in Nagorno-Karabakh. But when to hold that vote is a very sticky issue because emotions are still very high. The last sticking point had been, and where we really came to a standstill, one of the biggest issues was that the Armenian side wanted a fixed date for this referendum to take place and the question of independence directly put on the table, or union with Armenia for Nagorno-Karabakh, which is mostly populated, not all populated, by Armenians. Azerbaijan would like a solution whereby this vote is put off until an unspecified later date when emotions won't run so high and it won't be so difficult to get Azerbaijani society to agree to this referendum. Thereby leaving this ambiguity, it's easier to agree to. But it's incredible because the basic sort of framework, the basic things that the two sides seem to agree on, seem to be, they seem to be in relative commonality. But when you start discussing these smaller issues, which are politically potentially explosive or dangerous to the governments in control, the administrations in control in each country, it becomes very difficult.
Which role does Russia play in this conflict and the entire area?
Well, I mean, it's a very interesting issue because Russia is one of the three co-chair countries chairing the peace process officially, the Minsk group of the OSCE peace process. Yet, it's a rather unique situation because Armenia is a declared and official strategic and military ally of Russia, whereas Azerbaijan is a non-aligned country, declared neutral country, with difficult relations with Iran, which I also should mention is a regional player and is definitely one of the players in the conflict between Azerbaijan and Armenia. And then you look at Georgia, which is a country whose government is on the record as wanting to join the European Union, wanting to join NATO as quickly as possible. But that country being very much in locked in conflict with Russia, no diplomatic relations after 2008, parts of Georgia Russian troops present in two regions of Georgia, which are internationally recognized as part of Georgia in contravention with international agreements, which were brokered by the European Union in 2008. So as you can see, it's a region of great geopolitical battle and interest, I guess, and speculation. But the Russian role is one, you rightly asked the question. It's very interesting because Russia is a mediator and yet is an official ally of Armenia and has very bad relations with Georgia just to the north and unclear relations with Azerbaijan in many respects.
How can the internal situation of Azerbaijan and the Armenian-Azerbaijan conflict affect the regional scenarios in Caucasus?
Well, I think that as long as you have this situation where you have two countries which have stockpiled massive amounts of weapons and you have a 180-kilometer long line of contact or front line between the two sides, there's only a token observer force with no real mandate, at times doing informal observations along this line of contact. You have sporadic clashes going on, which kill several dozen people each year. You have hostile rhetoric. It can't help but keep the region in a situation of destabilization. If there were to be a new full-scale conflict in Nagorno-Karabakh or between Azerbaijan and Armenia, it's unclear to what extent Russia would get involved as a declared ally of Armenia. Armenia believes that Russia would have certain security obligations it would have to fulfill. In other words, fighting or helping the Armenian side. But yet, Armenia is blocked on two sides from Azerbaijan and from Turkey. Those borders are obviously closed. And in the event of conflict, the only way to resupply Armenia, if it were Russia we're talking about, would be through Georgia, which it has no relations and it has a hostile relationship. So you can see just what a tinderbox this all is, unfortunately.
One last question. What could international players, and in particular the EU, the European Union, to improve their commitment to solve this crisis?
I think one of the big problems is just fatigue. It's been 20 years since the active phase of this conflict. And with all of these conflicts which go unresolved, you get a fatigue factor. And there's less and less knowledge about the conflict and less political will to do anything about them in major world capitals, be it in Brussels, be it in Washington, be it even in Moscow, for instance. Add to that the fact that the world is a much more complicated place in many ways than it was 10 or 15 years ago. There are a whole range of new conflicts which have gone on and which are unresolved. And the attention level has dropped dramatically. But I think what people have to understand is we're not talking about a conflict just between Azerbaijan and Armenia, if it were potentially to erupt in a big way. You would be talking about a conflict which could become regional very quickly and drag in powers like Turkey, like Russia, like Iran in a very negative way, in a very sensitive area of the world of rivalry, of strategic importance, where there are energy reserves, where there are religious and all sorts of other fault lines, and the implications could be grave for Europe and for the region as a whole. So it's one of these things, unfortunately, one of these types of conflicts where people think as long as things are relatively quiet, we don't have to pay that much attention to it because we have so many other problems. Our message is to try to keep it on the radar screen and push for a solution and make it possible for these two sides to find a compromise that isn't politically untenable in their own capitals, because the current status quo involves a sizable part of Azerbaijani territory being occupied by Armenia, almost 600,000 internally displaced persons, almost no one living in these regions except a few thousand Armenian settlers, and that status quo is untenable. So at the end of the day, there has to be either a peace agreement, which would involve, by nature, Armenia having to pull back and give back some or all of the occupied territories, or you have conflict, because there is no way that Azerbaijan or any Azerbaijani government at the end of the day is ever going to accept, for instance, giving all of this land to Armenia.